I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, yes, Trump is in he's visiting a campaign office in Hamtramck, Michigan, where the Muslim mayor has endorsed him. A predominantly Muslim city, 60% Muslim residents, and the Democrat mayor backing Donald Trump. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. I appreciate you being here. I think we can jump in here, Justin, for a few minutes and take a listen to a little bit of what Trump is saying. And I think he's got a guy speaking right now.
Any car come into the United States and destroy the Michigan automobile business.
Thank you, Mr. President, and you are exactly correct. I've been preaching it to my coworkers in the UAW, and more of them are understanding this. The president is right, and the mayor was right. I've worked with a lot of Arab Americans, Muslims, throughout at Ford. A lot of the people came from this community, Dearborn Heights, hardworking people.
All right, continue to monitor this, taking you right now to Waterford.
All right, so they're jumping out of it in Fox News. But I just, you know, this point about Michigan and the auto workers, Kamala Harris a short time ago, and we'll grab the audio for you, said, I'm never going to tell you the kind of car you have to drive. Do you believe her? I mean, honestly, do you believe her? As an old saying, you know, I was born at night, but not last night. Democrats love telling you what to do with everything. Oh, you have the audio of it? Oh, great. All right, let's take a listen.
And we will ensure that the next generation of breakthroughs from advanced batteries to electric vehicles are not just invented, but built right here in America by American union workers. And Michigan, I know I'm going to tell you what you already know, but let us be clear for folks who are watching from different parts of the country. Contrary to what my opponent is suggesting, I will never tell you what kind of car you have to drive. And
that's BS. Of course you're going to tell. Democrats tell us what to do on everything. How much water our washing machines and dishwashers can use, how hot they can get. They tell you how much flow can come out of your shower. Kamala Harris talked about banning cheeseburgers years ago. And she's lying. She was 100% on the EV mandate. And it's her administration, the Department of Environmental Protection, that came up with the new rules for EVs, which basically will guarantee that the combustion automobile goes out of existence because of the ratio that car dealers and manufacturers have to use regarding selling gas-powered vehicles to EVs. And the same thing with trucks. And there's no freaking way she's going to let you drive the car you want to drive. You may get to keep the car you want to drive. Just like how Democrats twisted the whole gas stove thing. When that little troll, Richard Trumka Jr., came out and said that he was going to ban gas stoves. And that's exactly what they were going to do, ban gas stoves. And then you had like Phil Murphy come out and go, huh, and no one's coming for your gas stove. Well, no, idiot. Nobody really thinks that you're going to send like a confiscation crew to my home to rip out my gas stove, you moron. Nobody thinks that. But you're not going to let people buy them in the future. Same thing. If you have a gas-powered car, you can keep your gas-powered car. They're not going to confiscate them. But good luck buying new ones. And it's all very quiet because it's, again, this was not a law passed by Congress. This was the Environmental Protection Agency issuing these fuel efficiency standards that make it so that the gas-powered car is going to be extinct in this country in the next 5 to 7 years. And these auto workers know this. They're smart enough to know this. Come on. These guys aren't falling for this crap. They know what she's going to do. Just like I remember that article in the Wall Street Journal a couple months ago guy in Western Pennsylvania by Pittsburgh, and he's talking about works in the fracking industry, voted for Trump in 16, voted for Biden in 20 because he didn't like Trump's tweets. And he said, I'll never vote for a Democrat ever again because of the war on energy. He's seen it firsthand. These guys know this stuff, man, and they know what's at stake here. It's their livelihood. And she, I'll never tell you what kind of car to drive. Yes, you will. You'll tell us everything. You'll tell us whether or not we can eat a cheeseburger, whether or not we could our washing machine can get hot enough to actually kill the lice and kill the freaking bedbugs, whether my dishes can actually get washed without me having to wash them before I put them in the dishwasher, which makes no sense whatsoever. And yeah, I got a knockoff shower head, and I took off the thing. I pulled out the thing, the water restrictor, and put it on my shower so that I can enjoy a nice, luxurious, flowing shower with lots and lots of water. I'm not doing that low energy, low flow. Same thing with the toilets, too. You ever notice, I don't know, it's kind of gross, but sometimes things are left behind. Is he going to have any water in him to flush the toilets? Like, they tell you how to live everything in your life. She gets in there. Mark my words. It won't be an actual ban on gas cars, but they'll continue with these fuel efficiency standards by the EPA that will essentially ban gas-powered cars. Same thing they'll do with the gas stove, just in general, all along, because they hate natural gas. And they hate gasoline, and they hate oil. And they hate anything that is not wind or solar. So that's what's going to happen. And these guys are smart enough to see through that and know that that is a joke to believe that you can trust any of these people. It's a joke. It's why Trump's doing so well with the Teamsters, the steam fitters, all the union guys. And another problem for Kamala Harris, if you remember, Philadelphia Inquirer had a story a while ago. And it was all about how in Philadelphia, not the counties, but in the city of Philadelphia, working class people are going with Trump. And the only people left are the people in the center city high rises in Rittenhouse Square who, you know, they're all college educated white liberals. And that's basically it. And Latinos in a big, big way. In fact, Politico has a piece today written by Holly Otterbein, who used to be a reporter with the Philadelphia Inquirer. Dems see warning signs for Harris with Latino men in Pennsylvania. Harris's performance with Pennsylvania's 580,000 registered Latino voters could tip the entire election. And the story goes on to talk about how her problems are so deep. Latino political and business leaders in Pennsylvania have privately warned that Kamala Harris's campaign, they're not doing enough to engage Latino voters and elected officials in the state, imperiling her chances of defeating Donald Trump here. In fact, at a recent reception in Philadelphia, multiple Latino leaders approached Harris's staff and campaign allies privately to deliver versions of that admonition, according to two people who attended the event and were granted anonymity to describe private conversations. In interviews with a dozen Latino Democratic elected officials and strategists in this key swing state reveal ongoing fears that Latino men in particular are still not on board with Kamala Harris. She's got a problem with men in every demographic, Latino, black, white, you name it. The drift among Latino men to Trump shows up everywhere in public polling as Democrats' lead among Latino voters has deteriorated to its lowest levels in decades, part of a long-term trend for Democrats. That's true in Nevada and Arizona, two highly diverse states where Harris faces problems with diminishing support among Latino voters. We got our buddy EJ. Oh, fantastic. Excellent. All right. Let me welcome to the show. Do we have his walk-up music? I don't know if we... Justin, do we come up with walk-up music for EJ yet?
I don't believe we have yet.
He told us last time. EJ, I'm sorry. I know you told me what it was. It was like Metallica or something, right?
Was it Ride the Lightning?
Oh, it might have been Ride the Lightning. It might have been Ride the Lightning. EJ, are you there? Do I have to go to him on the call, or does he just... talk to me. What do we do? Gentlemen?
Kurt up. Video cuts.
What's that?
No,
Kurt, just talk to me, buddy.
I was telling Justin to pot up the board video cuts.
Yeah, it's up.
Okay. It's up? All right, EJ, are you there? I don't know if he can hear me, but if he can, He's a research fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Grover M. Herman Center for the Federal Budget. His latest essay, Recession Since 2022, U.S. Economic Income and Output Have Fallen Overall for 4 Years. It's written over at the Brownstone, brownstone.org. It's good timing, too, because the federal deficit in the United States of America has hit another record high in this country. The federal deficit, another high. All right, EJ, are you there? I don't hear him. I see him.
I am, Rich. How are you?
Oh, great. Good, buddy. You look fantastic. Look at how dapper you look.
I try.
Now, talk to me about that flag that's folded up behind you. What does that symbolize there? I mean, I know it's the American flag, but...
So this was my late grandfather's, and along with his medals from World War II, also the late grandfather left me his pocket watch that I wear every day. So he among his awards, he got the Bronze Star for his service in Italy.
Wow! Excellent, great, fighting the bad guys, I guess, right?
Very much so. Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Well, you got to make sure. No, good for him. God bless him. That's great. Do you know what he did exactly in Italy?
We know that he got the Bronze Star when he was fighting in the Po River Valley. Unfortunately, well, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, he was one of many guys who came home from the war and never said a word about it, never talked to anyone about it. So, you know, we got to contact a congressman or something and try to pull his service record and figure out exactly what he did to get all of those medals.
Yeah, well, the greatest generation, right? That's how they do it, man. They just they kept it close to the vest, but God bless them. That's wonderful that you have that. All right, let's talk about the economy. First of all, the federal deficit, the breaking news on that reached a new record, huh?
Yeah, and the scary thing is, you know, we're adding at this point like $500 trillion a month. It really is scary how much the government at this point is basically just trying to buy economic growth. In other words, all of this government deficit spending gets counted in things like the GDP reports. And so what looks like growth in terms of the economy, what looks like an increase in people's ability to spend, is really just front loading of those figures by pulling future numbers to today. In other words, it's just like what a family has been. They can't afford their current standard of living, and so they rack up a bunch of credit card debt. Well, that's all going to get paid for next month. And when you can't pay those bills, bad things start to happen.
Yeah, no question about it. Bad things happen, and bad things have been happening, which is brings me to your latest piece over at the brownstone.org. And we'll post a link to the piece as well. And I should mention, you know, he is our official economist on this program. So, recession since 2022, U.S. economic income and output have fallen overall for 4 years. So does that mean that not only are we in a recession right now, you're saying we've been in one since 2022, EJ?
Right, Rich. And the whole way we arrived at this conclusion was basically by looking at official inflation metrics and trying to correct a lot of the problems that they've been having over the last several years, several of which we've actually talked about on the show before. The cost of housing is probably the biggest one. You know, when the government tries to measure inflation in the housing market, they don't even look at home prices and they don't look at interest rates, which is pretty shocking because those are the two biggest contributors to how much you pay each month in your monthly mortgage payment. And what they essentially do instead is they look at rents, and then from rents, they try to impute the cost of home ownership. And if both of those things are going up by about the same rate over time, then it's no harm, no foul. The problem is that is not at all what has been going on the last several years. And so while the official government metrics say that the cost of home ownership is up about 22% since January of 2021, in reality, when you look at home prices, when you look at interest rates, you find that the actual cost of home ownership has more than doubled in that time. So you're off by a factor of four. I mean, that's absolutely terrible. And it's important because you need to adjust downward all of your economic data for inflation. So we essentially correct for all of these different problems with the inflation metrics. We get a better sense of how much inflation there has been over the last couple of years. And then we have a better way that we can adjust down economic measures like GDP. And then once we do that, we find that the economy today is actually smaller than it was at the beginning of 2019.
Smaller than it was at the beginning of 2019. Now, that's some scary stuff. And as we're revising numbers, I think it's also important to note that the United States has revised the job numbers several times because that's the one thing the Biden administration keeps pointing to is they keep saying record low unemployment numbers and they keep talking about all the jobs they've created. But if, as you've mentioned, EJ and Tony, those jobs are mostly in the government sector. So we're paying for those jobs.
Exactly, Rich. And you know, not only have we had just month after month these downward revisions, but then the annual revision that the BLS does, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they take UI data, unemployment insurance data from corporations. That covers about 95% of all businesses, or excuse me, of all jobs. And that's a much more accurate data set. The problem is there's a huge delay, so you don't get it every single month. Whatever the case, they take that more comprehensive data, they readjust the numbers. You put together all of these adjustments, all these downward revisions, and it turns out a third of all the jobs we thought we added in a 12-month period never even existed. But on top of that, as you were just pointing out, Rich, you have this huge increase in government jobs. And it's both jobs that the government is directly paying for, but then also indirectly paying for. So on the one hand, if you work for the government, whether it's state, federal, or local municipality, whatever the case may be, the government is writing you a check. You're a government employee. But on the other hand, you also have things like teachers, nurses, and other jobs that are indirectly paid for by government. Let's say the government gives a grant to a hospital, and the hospital turns around and uses that grant to hire a doctor or hire a nurse. That is an indirect hire, you could say, by the government. In other words, it's still taxpayer dollars funding that salary. And as you pointed out, you need a lot of productive private sector employees paying taxes in order to fund every single one of these government jobs. It doesn't matter if it's a direct or indirect government job. If it's paid for by taxpayer dollars, you need a lot of taxpayers to cover that bill. And we're nowhere near that ratio.
And just for the record, you know, I'm not pointing this stuff out. I just pay attention to you when you point this stuff out, because this is the, this is your expertise. I mean, that's why we have you on the show. It's also why Bongino stole you from me. And, you know, we'll talk about that another time. But it's all right. And by the way, follow EJ on X at Real EJ Antoni. Don't fall for Fugazi EJ Antonis. And if you see one, report that person, please, because there's all these crypto scams out there they're trying to use EJ for. And it's just ridiculous. So thinking about that and then the concept of the election coming up, and you hear voters keep saying that economy is on everybody's minds. Kamala Harris is out there talking about Trump's tariffs. I don't know if you heard the explanation the other day, and you've explained this to us as well. You know, the fact that tariffs are a great way to negotiate and bargain. And what I still can't believe is that we're still paying tariffs on every product that is imported into this country, from furniture to foreign cars. And yet when we sell cars, we can't compete in the European market with our cars because they put 100% tariffs on them, which is crazy. We're all paying tariffs here in this country for whatever they're importing. And we did a lot of this after World War II, as we tried to rebuild these economies in Europe, and we're still doing these policies as of today, right now in the year 2024. I mean, it's remarkable.
Absolutely. And frankly, it just doesn't make any sense. We are essentially handicapping our own industry. We are penalizing our own manufacturers, you know, our farmers, et cetera. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people have begun advocating, Rich, for something called a border adjustment tax, which is a fancy way of just saying, look, we want to treat goods that are made overseas and goods that are made over here exactly the same when it comes to the tax code, because right now they're not treated the same. Not at all. And so even if you aren't talking about tariffs, even if you're just talking about how things are treated in terms of the tax code, American producers have a huge disadvantage. And that's something we just have to correct for if we want to actually return to a state of prosperity in this country. Now, are tariffs going to help in other ways? Absolutely. Because as we threaten to put more tariffs on foreign goods, we can help reduce the tariffs that those foreigners are placing on American goods, and we can help create more of a level playing field when it comes to Americans trying to compete with the rest of the world. Again, it's not a silver bullet, but I think it's definitely a necessary ingredient in the overall mix.
And it's what Trump does, right? I mean, he uses these things as negotiating tools to get the best deal for the American workers and to lower the prices of American products. Because Kamala Harris is out there saying that these tariffs are going to add all this money to everything. And look, I understand that, you know, in some cases that has happened, and in some cases that could happen. But this is why I say just get him elected and then let's work out the policy details and let him negotiate with these foreign countries. Because if she gets in there, tariffs are going to be the least of our worries.
Oh, my goodness, Jay, you can say that again. It's a long list of problems we will have under a Kamala regime. But, you know, in terms of tariffs, look, this is kind of a unique moment in modern political history, right? We have two candidates who we don't actually have to listen to their rhetoric. We can just look at their records. They've both held executive office. They both have a track record, especially in terms of economic performance. And what under Trump, at least in terms of tariffs, you know, Rich, I liken it to tactical bombing versus strategic bombing. And what they were able to do was they were very tactical in how they placed tariffs on things like Chinese steel. And so instead of just passing on all of the costs of those tariffs to American consumers, it forced the Chinese producers to basically eat the cost of the tariff. In other words, pay it themselves. Why? Because these steel products had essentially competition, whether it was here at home in America or whether it was some of our friends overseas like Sweden. And so Americans had a choice. Instead of buying these Chinese steel products at much higher prices, including the tariffs, they could either buy similar products here at home or buy similar products from a country like Sweden. And they could do so at a relatively low price. And so the only way for the Chinese companies to continue eating was to eat about 82 cents on the dollar of all of those tariffs. So you had the Chinese government subsidizing those industries and then having to pay tariffs to the American government. Essentially, the Chinese taxpayers were paying taxes to the U.S. Treasury. That's a pretty good deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say so, too. EJ, all right, last question for you. I appreciate your time today. I know you've been booked all week, EJ and Tony. But when Kamala Harris is out there talking about her opportunity economy, an economy that works for everyone, and you know, the details are sparse, but essentially what I keep hearing is we're going to give you free money and we're going to give you whatever you want. Pick whatever group, and we're just going to throw money at that problem. And it seems based on the polling that voters are very skeptical of this. It seems like they have still a lot more questions around this. I guess my question is, do you think that they're purposely trying to be as vague as possible here because they don't want to be actually transparent about their economic policies? And it doesn't seem to be working for them because voters still trust Trump more in the economy than they trust her, no doubt about it.
Rich, I think your observation there is spot on. And you're absolutely right. They're trying to be as vague as possible about their policies because there are no policies. They don't have any ideas here. They don't have a plan. They keep throwing out things kind of helter skelter here. And the best that, or I should say the closest that we've come to any kind of plan are these crazy ideas, taxes on unrealized gains. Well, we effectively put in place a kind of property tax on your stock portfolio. So that includes things like your retirement funds. It would include things like your home. I mean, you already have to pay property taxes to the state, to local municipalities. Now imagine having to pay a property tax to the federal government every time your home goes up in value. Oh, and by the way, it's not even an increase in real value. It's just an increase from inflation, but it doesn't matter. You're still going to pay a tax on it. I mean, these ideas are absolutely insane. And they're unworkable. And that's the key reason why, to your point, they have to keep these policies as vague as possible. Because if they were actually transparent, they would be revealed for the absolute lunatics they are.
Well said, my friend. Well said. All right. Follow EJ on Twitter at RealEJAntoni and check out his latest piece at the brownstone.org. Recession since 2022, U.S. economic income and output have fallen overall for 4 years. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a good one, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And that is the big story of the hour, the economy and the breaking news on the federal deficit and what that all means for us. And the big story of the hour is brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, the master of dental implants. Go see him today. 10 consecutive years recognized among his peers. Schedule your free implant consultation today by calling 856- 786-2020. And I want to tell you, you know, with winter coming and these things out of the way, you got to think about your home, right? Protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why you need my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. Look, Emmons is the real deal, and they're going to do great work for you. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And speaking of inflation and all the inflation that we're paying, well, Emmons is offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10%. 10% off roofing, 10% off siding, 10% off Anderson window replacement, and 10% off doors. So what are you waiting for? You got to take care of your home. You can't put it off. And you'll have a new roof if you need one. They'll never tell you need a new one if you don't. You can also just do roof repairs as well, but you'll get a free consultation, a free estimate. And if you do need a new roof, you're going to have the lifetime warranty, the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business, from my friends at EmmonsRoofing.com. Matt and Stephanie are going to make sure you're happy. So go there today to EmmonsRoofing.com and do this before the winter comes. And if you have a property at the Jersey Shore, you really want to get that roof looked at now, because the winters over there, as you know, can be brutal. EmmonsRoofing.com. Take advantage of the 10% off inflation relief discount. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this drift among Latinos to Trump, and particularly Latino men, not good, not good. The drift among Latino men to Trump shows up everywhere in public polling as Democrats' lead among Latino voters has deteriorated to its lowest levels in decades, part of a long-term trend for Democrats. It's weird. You would think the open borders policy, Latinos would love that. That's true in Nevada and Arizona, two highly diverse states where Harris faces problems with diminishing support among Latino voters. And Harris's performance with Latino voters in Pennsylvania, home to 580,000 registered Latino voters, could tip the entire election. Yes, I'm concerned and I'm worried. The Harris campaign needs to continue and do better at getting to the community, getting them out to vote, said Victor Martinez, who owns a Spanish language radio station here and appeared in a pro-Harris TV ad for the campaign. Trump has created a macho persona. Macho, macho man. A personality that is very attractive to the Latino man. And I can say this because I am a Latino man. That's weird, because, again, I thought the beta dudes for Harris, beta cucks for Harris, was really working out well for them. But it turns out Latino men like a strong man, huh? I wonder how Latino women feel about that, too. My guess is they like it, too. They may not say it publicly, but I think they do. I think in general, despite the left's attempts to weaken masculinity and to say that men who are strong men or alpha males are toxic, I think people know that that is utter BS. They want a strong leader to go in there and do the job. One Pennsylvania elected official, granted anonymity to speak freely, complained that, quote, the Harris campaign, they need to be ramping up with Latinos even more in the closing weeks, while another Latino leader in Pennsylvania, who attended the Hispanic reception earlier this month, said they were worried about getting Latino men over whatever issues they have about electing a woman as president that's on a lot of people's minds. So you know what they're setting that up for, is to say that Latino men are sexist, I guess, misogynistic. Oh, those Latino men, so afraid to vote for a woman, you know, they're all like Tony Montana, you know, they're just a bunch of sexist pigs. They're already writing a script on this, you know, for when she loses, obviously. But isn't that something? Like they openly say this in a Politico article. Like, we think Latino men have a problem voting for a woman. It's adorable. How about they have a problem voting for this woman? What do you think? Maybe it's this woman could be the issue? Just, again, throwing it out there. Since Harris replaced Joe Biden atop the Democratic ticket, she significantly improved Democratic numbers with voters of color across the board. Well, wait a second. Doesn't that just contradict exactly what you just said in the paragraph right above that, which is that you say Latino men are you're worried that they have issues with electing a woman as president? So Biden's out. You guys stage a palace coup against the guy. He's shivved out of the race. And then you say her numbers have improved among voters of color across the board, making the party competitive again in diverse Sunbelt states. She's expected to win the majority of Latino voters in Pennsylvania and nationally. But her weakness among Latino men and Trump's specific appeal to this group is worrying to operatives on the ground in Pennsylvania, because even moderate erosion with this group could affect the state's results. If there's any relief to Democrats on the ground, it's that Republicans haven't done more to court those voters, they say. If they were to invest, I think they could really take the Democratic Party for a run. Trump just did a Telemundo town hall, yesterday? And they are running Spanish language ads throughout Pennsylvania and the other states as well. This is not because Latino men are sexist. It's because they don't want the open borders. They're sick of the crime and they're sick of this economy. It's not that complicated. If they were to invest, I think they could really take the Democrat Party for a run, says Martinez, who hosts a four-hour daily radio program that reaches hundreds of thousands of Latinos in the Lehigh Valley. All right, first of all, a four-hour-a-day radio program sounds exhausting. That's what this one is, 4 hours a day, in case you know. And yes, it is freaking exhausting. By 7:02, I need to turn my brain off. And I do that by cracking open a bottle of wine and proceeding to just cleanse myself. And then on the weekends, I try to avoid looking at politics at least for a few hours every day. So I give myself a 30-minute break on the weekends. But the guy's reaching hundreds of thousands of Latinos in the Lehigh Valley. How big is the station? I mean, we reach hundreds of thousands of people on this station. We're 50,000 watts. How big is this radio station that he's reaching hundreds of thousands of Latinos in the Lehigh Valley? Anyway, he noted that Harris herself, when she was still Biden's running mate, called into his radio show, as did Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Senator Bob Casey the Lesser, and Representative Susan Wild, while their Republican counterparts have not. The uneven outreach is reflected in campaign spending targeting Latino voters in the state. Listen to these numbers. The Harris campaign and her Democratic allies have pumped nearly $2 million into Spanish language TV ads in Pennsylvania, while the Trump campaign and his Republican allies have spent only $175,000 on Spanish language ads, according to an ad tracking firm. The Harris campaign has 30 staffers dedicated to Latino outreach in the state, while the Trump campaign has one. I don't care how much money you spend. It's not working. It's not working. You can spend $2 million. You can spend $20 million. You can spend $250 million. If people don't like what you're selling, they're not going to buy it. Period. They're not going to buy the product if they don't like the product. Jimmy Zumba, a Pennsylvania-based Republican strategist and a renowned Zumba enthusiast, I don't know if that's true or not, acknowledged that he had hoped there'd be more ads on radio and TV. If Republicans were to spend more money or perhaps hire a couple more outreach people for the Latino community, then I think it'd be more effective to gain more people, Zumba said. Then he did Zumba. But he did praise a Latino-focused GOP staffer at its office in Reading, Pennsylvania, who was great. Jamie Flores, the Hispanic Communications Director for the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee, said the campaign decided not to do specific offices aimed at any particular community because the main issues are common for all communities. Inflation, high prices, they affect Latinos, Asians, African Americans. So there's no reason to do something specific. We do it in English and Spanish, but the message is the same for all the communities. This has been a thing with Democrats. I've been telling you this. Everybody, you're not an individual. You're part of a group. And everybody in that group thinks exactly the same. So as long as they spend $2 million on Latinos and they have 30 people, then all the Latinos will think the same. The Trump campaign doesn't believe in that nonsense. Actually, I have a true story about that from 2016, from the campaign, the very, very early days. And I remember Corey was on the phone with somebody, a reporter, about, you know, why there isn't a this person director, like a black director for Trump and a Latino director for Trump and a this person. And he kept saying, because we're appealing to everybody with the messages. Leave that to the Democrats with their nonsense about, you know, this. But now, since then, the Trump campaign has, I think, certainly expanded its efforts by having more regional coordinators and national coordinators who can touch up base on these issues. But they understand that they're targeting individuals. They're not throwing something at a whole group and expecting that group to be homogenous and respond accordingly. And that's the difference. Democrats don't see people as individuals. In some polls, Harris's numbers with Latinos have hit dangerously low levels nationally. Biden won Latino voters nationally by a 26-point margin in 2020. But a New York Times Siena College poll found Harris with just a 19-point lead over Trump in this group. And that's not good. You add up the support that's eroding for him among black voters, Latino voters, on and on. They got problems. They got problems. Let me play this clip for you. This is Jim Gaffigan last night. And he was talking about the Democrats have been saying that Trump's reelection is a threat to democracy. This might be my favorite Jim Gaffigan line from last night during the Al Smith roast, which, of course, Kamala Harris decided to not attend. And it blew to Catholics. Oh, and by the way, a lot of Latinos are, guess what? Catholic. Right. Take a listen.
The Democrats have been telling us Trump's reelection is a threat to democracy. In fact, they were so concerned of this threat, they staged a coup, ousted their democratically elected incumbent, and installed Kamala Harris. In other words, all her dreams have come true. Really, it really makes you consider the power of prayer, right, Cardinal? Sometimes prayers take 3.5 years and a George Clooney op-ed.
I mean, it's true, and we've been saying that, right? This was a palace coup of the ultimate. They shivved the guy, prison yard style, got him out of the race, and the guy who was the most surprised that he was out of the race was Joe Biden. That's right. Gaffigan also made a joke about the media and the secret Trump voters. Take a listen.
The media has begun discussing the phenomena of secret Trump voters. I don't know if you've heard about this. People who publicly say they would never vote for Trump, but then when they go in the voting booth, they do. It's a small group. They're called the Biden family.
That's great. And that's what I've been telling you, that Biden hates her and wants her to lose. And he is going to enjoy watching her lose on election night or the next morning or whatever we know. It's funny. It's funny because it's true. Speaking of funny, I'll be on Fox News Saturday night, tomorrow night with Jimmy Failla, 10 p.m. on the Fox News channel. Please tune in. We're going to have a great time, a lot of fun. I don't know how any of us will be able to top Trump's jokes. He was on fire last night. This is a joke he made about Tim Walz. This is my favorite joke that Trump told last night, I think. It might be my favorite joke overall about Tim Walz. Take a listen.
I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz.
That's great. He took a shot at the first second gentleman, whatever the hell he is, the beta male of the United States, misogynist pig Doug Emhoff. This is cut number 5.
The major issue in this race is child care, and Kamala has put forward a concept of a plan. A lot of people don't like it. The only piece of advice I would have for her in the event that she wins would be not to let her husband Doug anywhere near the nannies. Just keep them away. That's a nasty one. That's nasty.
Well, it's nasty, but it's true. Watch your nannies, gents. Watch your nannies. President Trump talked about how Joe has almost disappeared from view. Cut number 7.
Joe has almost disappeared from view. The only way he could be seen less is if he had a show on CNN. They had nothing. They've got nothing. Fake news, right? Fake.
Uh, And he took a shot at Bill de Blasio. This one is not going to be on video. This is audio only. Because we have to dump a word here. President went a little blue last night in front of all the bishops and the cardinals and the priests. Cut number 9.
We have another former New York City mayor with us. Frankly, easily the worst in our history. And it's not Michael, that I can tell you. I'm surprised that Bill de Blasio was actually able to make it tonight, to be honest. He was a terrible mayor. I don't give a if this is comedy or not. He was a terrible mayor. He did a horrible job. That's not comedy, by the way. That's fact. But unlike the rest of New York, at least Bill doesn't have to worry about the criminals. They owe him big. He let them get away with a lot of stuff.
Very good. De Blasio is the worst, by the way. He's the worst. I have absolute disdain for that guy for so many reasons. Number one, he's not Italian. His name is like William Wilhelm. He changed it to De Blasio. And then that time when he was doing that whole vax and fries thing, where he was shoving his fat face with French fries, saying that if you got a vaccine, you get free French fries. And he's eating and shoving them in his face. And he's, oh, these are delicious. He was a tyrant. He locked down New York City. He was so anti-cop. The NYPD hated the guy. He's the worst. Total fraud. So good for Trump for going after him. It's like, I don't care if it's comedy or not. I'm going to go after him. He talked about Kamala wanting another debate with him. Cut number 6.
I know Kamala's word because she spends a lot of time complaining. I won't agree to another debate. But the truth is I've debated twice this year, once against Joe Biden and once against David Muir of ABC.
That's good. And David Muir's hair, which used to be better. There were also some, yes, Warren Wilhelm Jr. Thank you, Justin. Warren, do you remember that video of him shoving fries into his fat face? Did you ever see that one?
I did.
Yeah.
We might have to try and get that, just replay it for old time's sake on Monday.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. Let's do it. Can't get enough of that. But that was good. But then Cuomo came out with his vax and scratch. Do you remember that? It was like, I forget what it was. It was like a scratch and sniff thing or something. I forget. Or he got a candle or maybe one of the prison labor. I forget exactly, but I just remember him coming out and going.
You get a free $20 New York lottery scratch off.
Oh,
ticket.
That's what it was. Right, Justin. Yes. Great memory. Yes. Vax and scratch. From the creep who was groping women in the elevator, who I'm sure scratches himself for lots of reasons. Probably some that require an antibiotic, if you catch my drift. They call them crabs when they're down below. Lice on the head, crabs down, just for the record. Vax and scratch. The love gov. Not all of it was jokes last night. Trump was also had a couple serious points, too. He started with this from last night, the Al Smith dinner, kind of a longer cut. Cut number 1.
I actually thought about not doing jokes tonight. I was going to come out here and say, listen, our country is doing very badly. This is not about jokes. And then some person said, you have to do jokes. I said, I don't want to. There's nothing funny about what's happening to our country. And I actually meant that I was going to do that. But they convinced me to say some of the things I said tonight. I don't know if they were funny or not, but hey, you think this is easy standing up here and doing this in front of half a room that hates my guts and the other half loves me? Half of us love me, but maybe it's, I think 75% love me. But I actually, though, I did think about that, and our country is doing very badly with respect to its open borders and inflation and crushing things happening in the Middle East and Ukraine. It's so sad to see what's happening in Ukraine. Wow. I had a lot of people from very religious people come up to me tonight from Ukraine, and they're asking me for help. So sad to see so many people have been killed in Ukraine, and we're going to get it settled up if we win. As I'm president-elect, I'm going to get that done. I'm going to do it before we ever get back. We have to get it stopped. Too much killing. It's killing, and all of those cities are coming crashing down. Those beautiful golden domes are crashing down on their sides. They're so sad to see. The whole thing is so sad. So we're going to be, for all those people, there's so many people came up to the dais, and religious people from Ukraine, and I'm going to say, and I told them, don't worry, we're going to get it stopped. It's too bad it ever started. It should have never started. It wouldn't have started. But we're going to have our country respected again. We're going to make sure that it's respected, and we're going to go out and do very good things for ourselves as a country and for the world. These are challenging times for our beautiful USA, but I'm committed to working with every partner here in New York and all across the nation to build an America that once again is strong and safe and proud and prosperous and free. I'm going to make sure together we can create a future defined by great ambitions and grand achievements that once again inspires the dreams of our children, brings back the American dream. You don't hear about the American dream anymore. We're going to make it possible for them to have the American dream.
And there were some other moments as well. I just wanted to quickly play this one. This was he made a little lighthearted joke about the assassination attempts. Cut 13.
This is a very religious evening to me. It really is. It represents so much. My sister was somebody that loved the church and gave to the church. A cardinal knew that. Had a certain priest that she thought was incredible, right? For a certain very, very fine man that she thought was incredible. Having recently, myself, survived two assassination attempts. They survived. I have a chart that went down to the right. Fortunately, I looked at it. It's my all-time favorite piece of paper. But it went down, and I looked to the right, and I said, you know, was that luck? What was that, luck, or was that God that did that? And I think it was God that did that. I do. But I have a very fresh, Cardinal, I have a very fresh appreciation for how blessed we are by God's providence and his divine mercy. I mean, that was something, I was not supposed to be here tonight, that I can tell you. So with God's help, I know there is nothing that cannot be achieved. We can achieve so much good with this country and get together and unify.
And this was the funny part he made about that. Cut 12.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. There's nothing to say. I guess I just don't see the point of taking shots at myself when other people have been shooting at me for a hell of a long time and they shoot.
All right, we got a lot more to get to. Our buddy Dr. Wilfred Riley is going to join us. Hey, listen, when it comes to your smile, there's one guy and one guy only I want to recommend to you, and that's my friend and personal dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Dr. Mike is not only a master of implant dentistry and voted a top dentist in New Jersey for 12 consecutive years by his peers, but he's also the guy who will give you the smile of your dreams. And I want you to mark down the calendar November 9th. He's having his annual Veterans Breakfast and Free Community Shredding event at his office in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. Come by for some cake, coffee, donuts, breakfast, pizza, thank our veterans, and shred all those important documents you want to keep out of the wrong hands. When it comes to your smile, there's no one better. That's why for 12 years in a row, his peers have recognized him as a master of implant dentistry, complicated dentistry. So go to the best. He has two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. You deserve to have the smile of your dreams, and Dr. Mike Veneria will give it to you. Just go to VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, Veneria Dental.com. I promise you will love the great care of Dr. Mike. And remember, my whole family goes to Dr. Mike Veneria. So mark your calendar for Saturday, November 9th for our his free community shredding event and Veterans Breakfast at his office on Riverton Road in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.